What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, hello there. What's kicking, little chickens? This is Tom Corson, Dynasty Infidel, coming at you with another episode of TFA Dino Show. Robbie and Cody unfortunately couldn't come on tonight, but we have a great show for you guys. We're going to be talking some rookie wide receivers with the one and only Brandon Angelo, a.k.a. Angelo Fantasy, creator of Angelo Analysis. He does the Ascension Grades, which is something he came up with. You can find his stuff over at angeloanalysis.com. You're doing some awesome things as usual. Welcome back, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man. I'm excited to be here. This will be fun.
Yeah, man. Had you on to talk rookie wide receivers last year. Did such a great job. Figured we'd have you come back, say nice things. First things first, though, you don't have to tell me I was right about Jalen Waddle. I already know.
Yeah, you were. No, I remember we talked about Waddle, Smith, and Chase a good bit. Yeah. But all three look like they're going to
awesome.
They're going to smash right? expectations. So, and isn't Waddle, that nice? Especially with Hill. Yeah, no, it is cool. The last class, I think we're going to take for granted a bit because we have – it's like a three-header hydra right now. So, in my opinion, I think those three guys are, you know, gonna have the most successful careers. But yeah, I mean, with Hill and Waddle, I mean, that's quite the duo. Silly. So yeah,
yeah. I saw some of the top speeds they had was like 23.4 last year and like 21.6.
Oh, yeah. Ridiculous.
Just silly. Just and then insane. You throw in Gesicki in there, who's not exactly a non-athletic tight end. And then
Moster, yeah, dude,
They're going to be silly.
Yeah, you got a 4x1. It's insane.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do a question of the week before we kind of get into this.
Cool.
You can be one character from a movie in real life. Who are you?
Oh, man. All right, Willie Beeman. Got it.
Willie
Beeman. I'll be honest, that's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
I was looking through the show sheet, actually, and I was on the way home. I'm like, damn, what character do I want to be? I'm like, honestly, Willie Beeman, because that movie, for one, is just awesome. Very underrated movie. You know, Al Pacino, Dennis Quaid, Jamie Foxx, come on, phenomenal movie. Yeah. And I just like his character a ton. Like, his character is just so much fun. But yeah, man, Willie Beeman would be hilarious. Like, I just think it's great. This is a great movie.
That's a good one. I went a different route. I mean, there's so many good ones, obviously. Luke Skywalker would be badass if you're into Star Wars. Rocky would be awesome, minus the brain damage. You know,
yeah,
Bruce Wayne, Clark
Kent. So yeah, be solid.
Yeah. Bruce Wayne, Clark Kent, obviously cool. Like anybody from Marvel, I'm gonna stick with Marvel. Do you watch Marvel movies?
Of course, I watch everything.
All right, I'm gonna go with Thor. Right.
Okay. All right.
Like he's a legit god. Like he can put lightning like up your ass whenever he wants.
Legit
like, he's
god. Probably that's not the first thing I think about doing, but I like the thought process.
I mean, you can.
Yeah,
you can.
Definitely can.
Like he can beat up the Hulk, so he's strongest, so to speak.
I like it.
And let's be honest, he's a good looking dude. Like even the Lebowski version with cheese whiz like all over his chin, he was still a baller. And he got Natalie Portman too, by the way. I mean, that's Jane. So if you're a Star Wars guy, like, he was banging Luke's mom, Padme. So, I mean,
yeah, that's
you can't go wrong with Thor. You're literally picking a god.
Yeah, I like it. I'm a fan.
Let's get into it a little bit. Let's talk a little bit about your ascension grading system, what your process is before we get started, and then we'll kind of go through there.
Sure. So I've always been a film guy. That's what most people kind of know me as. But one thing I want to do, going back a few years now, 2019, 2020, I want to combine like film and analytics to make essentially a holistic prospect grade. Because I always believe in using both. Like whenever I, you know, do my own research for my own rookie drafts, I use both processes. My own film from my own eyes that I watch, and then I use things like College Dominator and BMI and receiving production and workload and, you know, historical production, that type of stuff, and use that all the time to make my own assumptions on, hey, what's this prospect going to look like 3, 5, 10 years down the line. And so what I do is on AGS, the Ascension Grading System, it's 70% film and 30% analytics, and then it's 10 film factors that make up like a running back or receiver prospect, their skill sets, they're magnified and they're graded based around the film review. And then their analytic grades at the end of a prospect's collegiate career, key data points are charted from them. So those data points for those guys is experience adjusted production. So I, instead of like age adjusted production, I found experience adjusted production to be a little more sticky. College Dominator, historical production as a rusher for the running backs, BMI, and then receiving production and workload. And then for the receivers, career yards per reception, that's a big one for me from looking at the receiver standpoint, their historical production as a receiver. So basically, like, for example, like Devontae Smith had the most historic year of a receiver ever. And the grading system uses multipliers. So it's 1.25 times multiplier for basically a near elite grade. So like 90th percentile, 1.5 times multiplier for 95th or above percentile. So like Devontae Smith had the most historic season in collegiate football history. So he's going to get a 7.5 times, you know, 1.5 times multiplier and equals 7.5, you know, grading points. And when I did that, you know, when I ran through my test trials for about a year and did it, I liked how it came out because there's a lot of players and prospects that was pretty high on film, but analytically they just didn't line up. Like hitting on guys, it has to be way more holistic than, you know, just one process. It can't just be all film or all analytics. It has to be a good blend of each. So yeah, man, I mean, it's been great. This is the second year I've done it in full. The first couple of years, I was kind of tweaking the process and seeing what I want to put in it, what I didn't want, what was most predictive. But yeah, it's been fantastic. I really like how it's shaped up so far this year. It's been really interesting to see where the guys are landing, especially when we talk about guys like Sky Moore, which is a pleasant surprise for me. I didn't think you'd be graded that high analytically in particular.
Yeah, no, it's really good to look at when you mix it up. And on your site, angeloanalysis.com, you have everything written down where it's, you see their film grade, you see their analytic grade, you combine them, and that's how you get everything. So you can see a little bit, some of these prospects have better film grades, but really bad analytic grades and vice versa. So that's pretty cool. So head over to Angelo Analysis and take a look at that, especially if you want to kind of read about the Ascension grading system, because, you know, if you need to read things like me, sometimes it's a little bit easier to kind of comprehend some of that stuff. So normally when you rank Dynasty, it's tier one and it's the top guys from that year. You do it a little bit differently. Right. You kind of have an overarching approach.
Right. Yeah. So I grade it kind of similar way. So mine are based on like potential, so like ceiling essentially. So my tier one guys are my gold jacket guys. Those are guys who I think have potential to be a Hall of Famer, or AGS that thinks they're the potential to be a Hall of Famer. Tier two is the all pro guys. Tier three, Pro Bowl caliber dudes. Tier four, your high floor, like primary receiving options, or essentially like for running backs, your average to above average NFL back. Tier five is your high ceiling, high risk prospects. Tier six is your niche role players, spot producers. And tier seven is your depth receiver with a low career ceiling. So how it works is, because it's really thin at the top, so there's not many tier one or tier two guys. So for example, in the last 2 years, there's been three: Pitts, Chase, Smith, CeeDee Lamb as well. He's in that category. But then when you get further down, like I said, not that many in tier two. Tier three, the Pro Bowlers, that's when we see this class kind of come into play, like Treylon Burks, Drake London, Garrett Wilson.
Those guys are all in that Pro Bowl caliber tier, as well as Sky Moore. So those guys, the higher up you get, the higher the hit percentage essentially is.
Yeah, no, I really like it, how you do this, because when you talk about trading for dynasty draft picks, etc., especially at like the top half, like, okay, I want to trade up so I can get a wide receiver. Like in this class, you're trading up to get a wide receiver. But when you talk about Pro Bowlers, that might be, you know, wide receiver 12 to wide receiver 16. Whereas last year, you look at Pitts, you look at Chase, if you're going to trade up for a wide receiver, you're looking at a possible wide receiver 1 or 2 overall,
right? Right.
Which is a way to spin that for dynasty. We're going to start with a guy in your tier 3, Sky Moore. Yeah, let's talk about him. He's by far the least consensus out of people's top tier, and he's in your top tier. So what puts him in that Pro Bowl tier for you? I know you said he graded out really well analytically. What was he doing that stood out?
Yeah, I think the number one thing when we go back to the film of him, it's his blend of quickness and his accelerative capabilities are really, really strong. I mean, look at the combine too. If you want to look at service level, metrics, 1.46 to 10 yards. There's a guy that's in the 95th percentile or above for all prospects. So this is a guy that is pretty much an all-time elite accelerator at the NFL combine, which is a huge deal when you're talking about the slot position, right? He's going to be playing 11 personnel primarily. He can play outside. He can play Z a bit, but I think in the NFL with his movement skills and his ability to accelerate, his quickness, he's going to be a slot producer. And the way that NFL teams are moving way more towards 11 personnel, I think he's going to be an absolute smash in the NFL with the team. There's teams like the Kansas City Chiefs that are looking at him too in the early rounds. So that'll be interesting to see where he ends up. And he's only been playing the position for 3 years, which is a really unique thing about him. It's funny, when he came to campus, he was a defensive back. And then once he switched over, he had like an 800-yard season his freshman year. He's been playing the position for 3 months. So I don't care like what conference you're in, that's hard to do. But he's definitely a guy that, for me, I looked at after the NFL combine, and I was surprised the deeper I dove into him, how good he really is. I think he should be mentioned with some of those bigger guys, those bigger names. And then when we talk about analytically, where did he really stack up? He was pretty good. Analytics score is like 16.12, film grade 40.24. The film grade is pretty damn good for him because he's a top-level accelerator, so he scores 7.5 there. His college dominator was in, the 91st percentile. So like he's got the 5.62 there for bonus. Didn't have a super high yards per reception, but he scored a 4 in experience adjusted production because he had 800 yards as a
corner.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Going from corner to receiver. So he's definitely an interesting prospect and one that I didn't expect to have to be this high on film and analytically, but he's one I'm probably going to be grabbing in every second round of rookie draft this year.
Yeah, honestly, with his draft capital, though, I don't think he's going to make it to the second round in a lot of rookie drafts now.
Yeah,
I think they passed out of the bag.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those things where the NFL may have been ahead of the dynasty community because you see him sneaking in the first round in a lot of draft scouts, their rankings, he's a bit higher. I think he's going to be one of the more scheme-dependent wide receivers because you have to use him properly. Use him with motions, slot. Just getting the ball into his hands, just creating touches for him. He's twitchy, slippery. He's, like you said, he just accelerates like it's, he's got a Lamborghini right there. So,
right.
That's interesting, though. But I think scheme fit for him, if he goes Kansas City, people are going to wind up saying that he's wide receiver 1 in the class.
Oh, I agree. I think that's, it's interesting because of, we're going to talk about the wide receiver landscape a bit later. But, Green Bay, Kansas City, there's spots this year where there's a ton of targets open. And those targets are valuable because look who's throwing the ball. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. It's not like, hey, there's targets open in Philly and Jalen Hurts tossing to the pigskin. So
thanks for the insult. But I know Treylon Burks. We're at a 4.55 40 at the combine, and some people were disappointed. But I mean, based on his play speed at 225 pounds, that gave him a speed score of 106.4, I believe. 87th percentile in the database of weight adjusted 40 times. Thanks to Draft Network for that stat. You have him graded as your top receiver in the class. He's a pretty divisive prospect when you actually look at like fantasy Twitter versus draft Twitter. Like I'm seeing a lot of mock drafts with guys like Jahan Dotson going like the tail end of the first round. even the early 20s, and Burks is slipping out of it. You don't share those concerns.
No, why? I don't. I think the biggest thing with Burks is he's kind of moldable clay, right? He has all the physical attributes that you want in a wide receiver. He's big, 6'2", and the crazy thing is he's not 225 pounds. You know what he played at? He played at 240 last year. He had to slim down for the combine. You know, he's a guy who's reached 22.6 miles an hour on GPS data, you know, on field. You never see him caught from behind. He's going to be a guy that's going to be a level 3 threat and a level 1 threat right away. But the thing with him versus guys like Dotson and Jameson Williams in particular is they're going to help an NFL offense, Dotson and Williams, because they're on the field and they're going to stretch the defense with their pure presence as what they can do at top end speed, how they can get past corners. Burks is going to be a guy you have to design your offense around. And that's going to be interesting to see what team wants to do that and help him out in that regard. He's not going to be a plug and play guy anywhere. You see all the time guys who are gifted around the line of scrimmage or gifted down the field. If you can't give them the ball, it doesn't matter. Or if you don't want to get them the ball too. We saw a big shift from this year to last year. A guy like LaVisca Chenault Jr. had a pretty dang strong rookie season. And then you saw the total shift in offensive mentality, and he was crickets in his sophomore year in the league. That's kind of what I see in terms of the skill set around the line of scrimmage, kind of Chenault-like. You can line up a wildcat. You can put him in the slot, motion him. You can do a lot of things with him. But the down-the-field skill set's very reminiscent of Demaryius Thomas. And that's where he's a little bit different. Ooh. Is you can throw it up and he's gonna go get it. And he played center field in high school. He was a really good baseball player, actually, which is funny. But he tracks the ball really well, big, strong hands. But you're talking about a guy who's probably gonna be playing at close to 6'2", 230, 235 pounds. That's a mismatch, man. Especially if you put him in the slot.
I think DT was like 6'2", 215 when he was coming out and played around like 220, 225.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And so you're going to get a guy that's that big with that type of top-end speed. I think he can be a special player in the league. It's just, where's he going to land? Are they going to afford him that opportunity? He's not a guy. He's not a plug-and-play guy, right? You're going to have to give him some time to acclimate. You're going to have to scheme him touches, make him comfortable at the NFL level. But the sky's the limit.
Yeah, right now he's my wide receiver too. And when you sit there and you go into more film, because I'm mostly a film guy, you just see the physical attributes that he has where he's he out-muscles everybody and then he runs away from everybody, which is something I didn't see from Drake London enough as far as him running away from people. Like Trey Burks get the ball in his hands and he's got some space and he's gone.
That's a big difference between him and a lot of the other prospects in this class. Is he has one play touchdown ability from anywhere on the field. And that's the unique part of his game at his size. And if you turn on the Alabama game, that's the one where if you're like on the fence about Burks and his skill set, turn on the Alabama game. He's playing against some of the top players in the country on defense. And he was the best player on the field, bar none. It wasn't even close. I mean, what he did against that Alabama defense with mediocre quarterback play and play calling also isn't indicative to what his skill set can be, right? He doesn't have a diverse route tree because he wasn't asked to have a diverse route tree. So that's a big deal too, is, hey, is he going to develop? Well, he can. It depends on, you know, where he lands.
Let's talk a little Drake London here. You have him graded right under Trey Burks. He was fantastic in the 8 games he played this season. He's right there with him, Treylon Burks, in that tier 3 for you. Like, how does he compare for you? What are his deficiencies? Kind of talk us through Drake London a little bit.
Yeah, I think the one thing about London, he's kind of a one-speed receiver. He's not a guy that's going to blow by you. He's not a guy that's going to, you know, at the line of scrimmage, he's not going to provide you much separation. But the one thing he does really well is he wins through contact. And he continuously does that. Really good on the sidelines and the boundaries. He's this big slot right now, I think. That's where he kind of slots in the NFL. I think he's going to be a big slot receiver to start. And as he kind of gains a better toolbox, the line of scrimmage in terms of release package, you can put him out wide. But he's a physical player, man. He reminds me a lot of Brandon Marshall. Just one of those guys that just plays bully ball with corners. He's just hard to stop in the red zone. I think him, like him, Burks and Wilson are all very different receivers, but they're all the same in the fact that they can all be number one options in an NFL offense. Wilson different than Burks, different than London in this regard, but London's one of those prototypical possession receivers. I can see him playing a role similar to that of the Saints, Michael Thomas, more so used on the first and second level, third level targets can be hard to come by with such a narrow release package. But if he has a good quarterback, you can, you know, back shoulder, you know, throw back shoulders to him and pinpoint him. He could be productive there too. So I think it's, you know, depending on, you know, what you look for in a receiver, he could be the most successful of this whole group in terms of fantasy upside. Cause you know, he's going to be a guy that if he gets chosen by an NFL organization, he's going to, I think he's going to command 120 targets immediately, 130 targets immediately because of who he is, if he's healthy. But yeah, he's a fun prospect, man. I mean, he's not, you know, super fast. He's not a great accelerator either, but he's tough to bring down after the catch, and he's extremely good in contested catch situations.
The contested catches are what gets me because he's great in them, but they happen so often. You clearly see the lack of separation, and that's concerning for me. But he's very raw, so he's right. Got a ton of untapped potential. Could have the highest upside in the class with good coaching because he clearly hasn't hit his ceiling yet. Great with the ball in his hands. He plays like a dog. Really strong hands. It's just the contested catches thing. It kind of, I'm a little scared about it, man. I'm gun shy. Getting like JJW'd, it hurts. So I don't, and he's not that. He's a lot more athletic than JJW. I'm just saying.
Sure. No,
when I see the contested catch.
Yeah, thing, no, I agree. I think it's if his other skill sets don't rise up to it, then yeah, I think it can be a problem. If that's your only shining trait, but I think he's a good blocker. He's physical. He's really good with the ball in his hands. So you can give him those scheme touches like he had at USC, especially this last year. So I like it. I like him there. I like him in the slot. Like I said, I think he's a really good big slot receiver. Going to be a great first level, reliable first level option for an NFL offense. So we'll see where he lands. I would hope, you know, an NFL team deploys him in the slot initially and then lets him grow from there.
Well, I mean, you said a couple words that immediately make you think of one quarterback, which was back shoulder throw. So, I mean, if he somehow goes to Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. No, he's, yeah. You know, if he goes to Green Bay, it's going to be 130, 140 targets and over 1,100 yards. That you're going to, he's going to smash there for sure. If that's the case, any receiver, any of these big three, I think we're talking about, if they go to, I think the one that has the most chance of going to Green Bay is actually Treylon Burks. In terms of draft position, I think London goes in the top 12. I think Wilson goes in the top 15. I think Burks is going to be somewhere from 16 to 23. That's my guess for Burks.
So you think London goes before Garrett Wilson, eh?
I do. I think in looking at some of the teams that are where they're drafting, I think they want more of a big physical outside receiver that they think is going to, you know, play in the outside, help them move the chains. But I think the Jets are the ones I see him ending up with, because right now Zach Wilson doesn't have that guy. He has Elijah Moore, who's a great receiver, but he doesn't have that big physical presence. He can rely on the red zone and on third down. So I think that's where he lands. That's my guess, but we'll see.
I think Garrett Wilson's the safest wide receiver in the class. Reminds me a bit of Stephon Diggs. He's got your best film grade out of all the wide receivers.
He does.
Got one of your lower analytic grades, though. Can you talk about what bumps him down there?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, analytically, it's like on film, obviously, he's smashed. I mean, highest film grade in this class, and the guy's phenomenal. If you watch him play, a couple things. His yards per reception weren't that high. It's like, you know, scored 3.5 out of the numbers we have here on AGS. And then college dominator was just average. Experience adjusted production, a little above average. So he didn't get any bonuses in his analytics score. And that's the really big one in analytics that I found from putting these together is if you're not 90th or 95th percentile, you're not going to have a great analytics score. It might be okay. Like, his is a little bit low, like below 15, just kind of average. But you see guys upwards of like 20, like that happens sometimes too, that you're just, you know, these guys smash from day one. And you're like, okay, this is an absolute star. Like Jonathan Taylor. When I put him in AGS and the analytics side, it's like, okay, he's
kaboom,
not going to fail. Like, yeah, he's, stop it. Yeah, you just auto pick. Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, rewrite the system and just go from there.
Exactly. Like Kyle Pitts was 1-2 where like I put it in and it's like, oh, okay, he's gonna smash no matter what. And same with like Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, you know, CeeDee Lamb, like those guys in the upper tiers, like analytically, they grade out so high that you're just like, oh wow, like these are can't miss dudes. He's a little different in that regard where he wasn't elite analytically, but he was good to okay. But on film, he had, you know, a 90th percentile-ish film grade. So he's one of those, you're right. You hit the nail on the head. You can put him in any NFL offense and he's going to produce. Similar to how Devontae Smith produced last year in Philly's offense, you know, when they're running 59% of the time and he still had 900 yards, right? But that's what I see from Wilson, really safe floor, kind of like Devontae Smith. Might not be super sexy ceiling if he doesn't get into a really good NFL offense. But yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be a day one wide receiver, one NFL offense.
When we're talking about like Garrett Wilson's analytics score, it kind of brings me back to Jalen Waddle. Did Jalen Waddle not have a great analytics score basically because of the competition that he had around him, four targets, and then the injuries as well? Garrett Wilson doesn't necessarily have the injury issues,
right,
but the competition with the targets, because these Ohio State wide receivers were just stupid.
Oh, yeah. And it's kind of similar, honestly. I think when you look at those guys who are like 1 year or so mega producers, that's kind of what you get. So like a guy like Jalen Waddle is a really good example, because on film, he was in the 40s, right? If you're in the 40s on a film grade, that's pretty damn good. He was 41.74, I think. And then analytically, he was a 16. So not uber high, but he also had a season where his yards per reception is in the 98th percentile, right?
Right.
So that's where it bumps him up a good amount. But everything else is pretty average and below average. But that's what I like about AGS too, is it gives me the perspective of where is this player elite? If they're not elite in multiple categories, they're probably not going to be an elite player in the NFL. Especially fantasy, that's what we're talking about.
You want to go on to Angelo's tier four right here. So this is the tier two of your dynasty receivers this year. Tier mm-hmm. four overall, that's a high floor.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Primary receiving option in this tier, we have George Pickens, Jameson Williams, and Chris Olave. We're going to start out with George Pickens, who is a Debbie darling going back to his freshman breakout year. Unfortunately, due to injuries, we don't have a ton of film on him.
Right.
He measures in smaller than he played, I thought. He definitely has that like alpha dog mentality. You know, give us your process on how you went grading him, because we don't have a ton of film on him, but what we saw was really good.
Right. And he was an interesting eval because he's so physical and you could see it as a blocker too. Great down the field, really incredibly gifted inner athlete, inconsistent in contested catch situations. That's the one thing I noted from him, is he kind of just didn't know how to play the ball sometimes when it was in the air, but he has the physical traits to be dominant there. I really like him. I think he can be a number one option in the NFL. But where I always say, look, the guys in like tier four, well, why weren't they tier three guys? For him, it's more so, I think the injury bogs him down a bit. He didn't have a historically productive season. From an experience standpoint, he did in the SEC, so that was great for him. But he wasn't a guy that was a high, you know, high volume producer in the SEC because of the injury. So we have a little more pause there and some question marks. Similar to Jameson Williams. I mean, Jameson Williams produced 1 year at a high level, got hurt, didn't produce at all at Ohio State, and he's probably going to be cast into a level three role right away, which is great from a yards per reception standpoint. But if you're playing in PPR leagues, I compare him to Will Fuller. This could be a guy that goes 3 for 120 and 2 or 2 for 20 and 0. And that's the tougher thing about a guy like Williams in contrast to Pickens. Pickens profiled more of a higher volume pass catcher, like Mike Williams, essentially. He could be a little bit more higher volume. I don't think he's going to be like Mike Thomas, but I think he can be a guy that, you know, is a pretty high volume receiver, play around the line of scrimmage a lot. He's a good mover for his size as well. Pretty abrupt and sudden. I like that about him. But plays the ball well down the field, red zone option. But Jameson Williams, I think, is just going to be a level three threat. That's kind of what I saw from him. Obviously, he's a great accelerator. I mean, just absolutely dynamic with the ball in his hands. But the injury is going to be a question mark for me, too. It's like, hey, his profile in general has some questions. The level and where he plays and produces has some questions. That's a hard level. It's a hard level to win at consistently in the NFL. And even if you did, like Devontae Smith, prime example, he lived on level three this year. For whatever reason, that's what they did with him. And he was just a mid-tier wide receiver three in fantasy. Or wide receiver four, actually, mm-hmm. I think. High-end wide receiver four. That's kind of what I see with Williams in terms of role. And we didn't love Devontae Smith from a fantasy perspective last year. He was okay. You know, if you're like in a three flex league, he's an okay flex too. But I don't think Williams is going to move the needle in terms of fantasy production. I think he's going to be a better real-life player than fantasy producer. Productive, but not in higher volumes. Chris Olave, I think, is that next guy that we're going to talk about that I think has the better chance of producing on all three levels. He's kind of like a Tyler Lockett. And he has that ability to contort and, you know, to be that downfield threat and to be kind of like that safety blanket that Tyler Lockett was for Russell Wilson. I think he can be that guy. He can win on all three levels. He's a great route runner. I think he's the most experienced route runner in this class. And by experienced, I mean has experience running a full tree. He can run a full tree. Will the NFL want him to be a primary receiver? I don't know. I think he's better off as a high-end second receiver in NFL offense. Kind of like Jalen Waddle to Tyreek Hill. I think Jalen Waddle was best cast as a high-end wide receiver too in an NFL offense, rather than a solo one similar to Olave. I think he can be best in a situation where he's under another really good wide receiver to take the pressure off. I don't know if he can win solely on his own, but all three of these guys are dudes that can win. It's just where are they going to land?
Yeah, I think they're all wide receiver twos in an NFL offense. I think that's where they're best suited. So I think you have them placed properly. I think Jameson Williams probably has the highest upside if he can kind of harness his speed and develop a little bit more into, you know, his level two, level one production, because he's got that speed is just silly good. And the ACL injuries aren't what they used to be. And that's going to knock him down. Like, a lot of people had him going as a first wide receiver off the board, and now he's going to be in that Green Bay, Kansas City realm where all of a sudden, if he goes there, people are going to be like, well, shit, I guess. And he's going to get bumped up. Chris Olave, I think is going to go earlier than a lot of people, you know, I'm trying to think of who he is. He might be Hollywood Brown from the, wow, I can't believe he went that high aspect over so-and-so.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a couple guys in this class that can kind of play that role. And I think it was like Kadarius Toney going in the first round last year. Like, what a same thing moment. But I think Olave, if Olave goes anywhere from 15 to 25, I'm not going to be shocked because he's a plug and play. I mean, he's not.
And he's polished.
Like, he's, yeah, man. He's NFL ready. You put him out there at Z and go to work. I mean, he's gonna be productive. I don't think he's gonna be as productive as Garrett Wilson, but from the high end. But I think he's gonna be a productive NFL player. I think he's gonna have a ton of success. I think he's gonna live on the third level of a defense because he's just so smart and he's also extremely fast. So. Excited to see where he lands. Green Bay wouldn't surprise me either.
No. And when you get into that range after the top, you know, wide receivers are gone, you have teams that he's going to be the wide receiver too, and he's going to be perfect. I mean, you have Green Bay, Green Bay. I don't even know what they're going to do. It doesn't matter as far as wide receiver two there, because he would actually go in and be the wide receiver one.
Yeah. I mean,
Like 100%. Like Pittsburgh, Buffalo, the Chargers, like there's teams later on where it's going to be like sneaky wide receiver picks that are going to be really good for them. But we're going to go on to your next tier here. So this is your high ceiling, high risk. And this is usually where I live because I usually trade my first round picks away sometimes. And then I'm, you know, I have two or three second round picks and some of these guys usually fall in there. And I'm taking swings. I'm not just taking a guy where I'm like, well, he can be a wide receiver three. We have David Bell, we have Justin Ross, and we have Christian Watson. Justin Ross, everybody knows Justin Ross if you played Devy because you loved him and then you thought his career was over. So you may have even dropped him in Devy, and I'm really sorry because that sucks.
Right.
And then we have David Bell. And, you know, in the Marine Corps, we have a saying, military in general sometimes, slow is smooth, smooth is fast. Well, David Bell is apparently, you know, very slow, because that horrendous 4.65 40 time was a big disappointment at the combine. One area that he did not disappoint you at all was the analytics side, though. So I want to talk about that. He's got your highest analytic grade in the entire class. So talk about whether he can overcome like some of his athletic shortcomings, which I didn't necessarily see a lot of it on tape. I don't know what happened at the combine, to tell you the truth.
Right.
Like, Do you have a comp for him too? Because I kind of see Tyler Boyd. I don't see that high-end wide receiver, but I see that guy who can be like a wide receiver two in Dynasty as a ceiling, especially in a PPR league, because he's going to live, you know, on that level one short, just getting balls and just, you know, making first downs.
Yeah, I think a Tyler Boyd, like a bigger Doug Baldwin, where he can be
angry Doug, man. I miss that dude.
I do too. He was great. He was fun to watch, man. I mean, just that first down machine. The thing with like I've seen with tier five receivers, and I'm gonna list off some of the ones in tier five that were in there in the past. Tamarion Terry, I mean, literally, I think he murdered somebody. So quick story. So I drafted him in Devy a couple of years ago. And this is when he was projected, actually, by like a lot of major networks, like he's going to be a first round pick from like 25 to 35. And I'm like, okay, absolutely. Guys, stud. And then, you know, I'm watching the NFL draft. My buddy's like, did Terry go yet? And we're like in round two. I'm like, no. Round three, no. Four. And I'm just like, what happened to Tamarion Terry? And then my buddy's like, dude, you got to read this. And it literally said like he's and being investigated for murder. I'm like, wait, what?
Like there's one thing.
That's why he fell. Yeah. So that's
murder people.
So that's a big one. And then tier five is also Jalen Reagor, Marquise Brown, Amari Rogers, Denzel Mims, T. Higgins, Seth Williams, Jalen Darden, Dwayne Eskridge, Michael Pittman, and Terry McLaurin. So it's kind of like a 50-50.
So you say like, you say oof, but there's a lot of names in there.
Yeah. And that's the thing is,
there's
a lot of guys that fall in that. Like, it can go either way. Like, look at even at the bottom of that, like Terry McLaurin, Michael Pittman, and then you have T. Higgins, Marquise Brown. Those aren't bad receivers, right?
No, they're really good. So I'm taking two or three of these guys in my drafts.
Exactly. So that's the thing that's interesting is like for every Seth Williams, you're gonna get a Terry McLaurin. I don't know if any of these guys in this class are them. David Bell, going back to him, is he going to get a high volume role? If he does, he'll produce. If he does not, he won't. And I think it's pretty simple with him. Justin Ross, is he healthy? like fractured foot.
That's big.
He had the vertebrae issue that I think is still going on. Hope he figured it out. That was super scary with him. So there's a reports like he might not play again, and he ended up playing. We'll find out a lot about him medically by where he goes. I think that's the same with Tylan Wallace last year, is we found out medically how the NFL viewed Tylan Wallace, and very similar to Justin Ross. I think obviously Tylan Wallace with just the ACL, but the hereditary issues too, his twin brother had two of them. And NFL teams weren't willing to take that risk with Tylan. And that showed us, hey, you know, he's probably not going to be this higher volume productive receiver in the NFL. They'll tell us that with Justin Ross if he's a day three pick, I think. Christian Watson's going to be – he's a riser, man. I think he's going to end up being a first-round pick.
Big riser.
Yeah.
You say first-round pick?
He's a first-rounder, yeah. He's 100%. I think the upside's immense. I think he could be the best receiver in this whole entire tier of grading for the last, like, 3-4 years. I think he has
a really good tier.
You're talking guys like T. Higgins, Terry McLaurin. Yeah. Like, those aren't slouches, man. I think he could be that. And the reason why is he has all the physical traits you want in a wide receiver one, in terms of he's long, he's strong, he's fast, good accelerator, good in contested catch situations. He's a willing blocker, but he's very raw. So if the rawness doesn't supersede the development, then we got to, boom, smash second round in your rookie drafts. If you're drafting for the NFL draft, just take your swing at him. Because I think he has a chance to be one of the best receivers in this draft cycle if he develops. But I think he's going to be a first-rounder. I mean, that's what I think.
He's got that size-speed combo where some team is going to fall in love with him. So,
yeah, it's going to be interesting.
If he doesn't go in the first, though, I think he's going to go definitely in the top half of the second round, because there's not going to be a lot of wide receivers that go there, and there's still a lot of teams that have needs at wide receiver in the top half of the second round. So I think, let me see, over under like 44.5 or so. I don't think he's getting mm-hmm. past.
The Bears would take him. I think they want a DJ Chark, Tyrell Williams-esque receiver, which I think he is. I don't think he's as good as DJ Chark is at Chark's peak, but I think he could be like a Tyrell Williams plus type player, which is not a bad player. We forget Tyrell Williams is actually pretty good, but he's that type of player where he can be a level 3 threat plus some.
So we're going to go on to your tier 4 here, which is your tier 6, which is a spot producer. It's, you know, dynasty tier 4. We have Jahan Dotson in here, Wandale, and Mechie. So we're going to talk about Dotson here because he's getting love as like a first round NFL wide receiver in mock mm-hmm. drafts. Can you talk about what has you concerned about him?
I just don't see him being productive on all three levels. I think that's a prerequisite for being like a fantasy, you know, a reliable fantasy asset, is you got to be productive on all three levels of the field. Like think of receivers right now that, you know, are in your top 10 and 12 in dynasty. Like all of them produce at all three levels, in my opinion.
You probably are along the same lines of he's going to be a better NFL player mm-hmm. for a team than he will a dynasty aspect. He's going to be more like Torrey Smith, where he's a field stretcher.
I think that's a fantastic comparison to Jahan Dotson, honestly, is that's where he's going to live. Is he's going to have those games where he's 4 for 120 and 3. He's going to mm-hmm. have those games where he's 1 for 15. Right. And that's going to be the tough thing with him, is he is likely to be below pick 35. I think he's going to go in that. He's going to go between 20 and 35, in my opinion. That's where I think he goes. He's going to surprise people. Him and Olave are going to surprise people with how high they go in the NFL draft, because NFL evaluators need and offensive coordinators need that level 3 threat. And that's what he is. A guy like Alec Pierce, too, I'm doing his grading right now, actually, on AGS, so this should be out Sunday. He's probably going to go into that tier five category, judging by how his film shaking is going to shake up. But when we talk about Wandale Robinson, it's tough because he does a lot well with the ball in his hands, but he needs the ball in his hands. Pretty simple. Like, you need to get mm-hmm. the ball. But is an offensive coordinator going to change their philosophies? And that's the question, is he just going to be that that gadget piece, the Tariq Cohen of an offense, or is he going to actually be a reliable producer? And that's where I think he's going to be more of the Tariq Cohen of an offense. Mechie was next. I think Mechie's an interesting one because of obviously the injury, but he's just going to be a man, dude, steady Eddie. Like he's just going to be a guy that he's going to be just a dude. He's going to hang around the league for 12 years. Right.
He's Jason Avant. Do you remember Jason Avant? Were you alive for him?
I do. I was alive for Jason Avant. He's going to,
big third down catches, but he's got 40 on the season. So
that's, man. I think that's going to be him. He's just going to be really, he's all reliable. He's a 2008 Chevy you'll drive for 30 years. You know,
is it a Chevy?
That's
now?
It. That's
is
it. It
a, are Chevy or is it, I thought it was Toyotas at this point.
Well, I don't know. One of the.
I don't know. It's one of those things.
Cars, Toyota, Chevy,
The Honda,
the Ford Focus of the class,
the 94 Civic. So John Mechie's the 94 Civic. Right.
Now you're aging yourself. But yeah, I think that's Mechie right there, dude. It's just I think he's gonna be the 94. What'd you say, 94 Civic?
Yeah, the Honda Civic, the 94 Honda Civic.
He's a 94 Civic. I'm gonna put it in my draft notes.
There you go.
But he's interesting. I think he'll go early day three. I think Wanda will go mid day two. Dotson will go late day one.
Good. I like. We're gonna go lightning round here because we finished up most of your tiers here. Typically, Robbie doesn't like to allow people to use the same wide receiver twice. However, I'm going to do that with the caveat of if you use somebody twice, say who it is and then say, you know, next best. All right.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. Best route runner.
Olave.
Deep threat.
Burks.
Hands.
Ooh, that's a hard one, actually. London.
London. Oh, okay. Best contested catchability.
I'd say Burks again. Okay. I think I would say best currently, but I think he has the highest upside to be the best contested catch.
Okay, since you already used him, who would it be after that? And then it would probably be London. And then after London, who would it be?
Wilson. I think those three guys. And I think you could put them any order in there.
You're gonna hit that's kind of what I thought too. Best body control?
Pickens.
Quickest release?
Moore.
Rawest prospect?
Burks.
Highest upside, kind of.
Okay. It's definitely Burks.
Most likely to exceed your expectations. So that's like you have like the lowest score on that you're like, wow, he's going to be... He's going to jump up to
in
whatever
tier. All my tiers or in just the first two tiers?
No, we're going to go most likely to exceed for every tier.
Oh, shit. All right. Let me I think I'm going to go with Christian Watson. I think it's either going to be him or Jameson Williams where I'm going to be like, wow. Like, they really smashed my expectations. I don't have him in a place where, like, I don't have like Watson like as like a tier 7 receiver or tier 6 receiver that I don't think is going to produce. It's just he might just totally blow me away in terms of what I expect him to do. And Williams could go to Kansas City Chiefs and freaking have 1,300 yards every single season with Patrick Mahomes. So could happen.
Right. Yeah. Now we're going to go highest bust potential out of your top two tiers.
Burks, 100%. I think he's just very much going to depend on if the offensive coordinator is going to basically just run the passing offense through him. Like, that's what they're going to have to do. He is not a plug and play outside guy. You're going to have to get him comfortable at the NFL level. And if you don't, he's going to end up flaming out like N'Keal Harry did. I don't think he is N'Keal Harry. I've seen that a lot on Twitter nowadays.
Yeah.
Nowhere near the prospect, like in terms of what they do stylistically, not close. But I think in terms of him not being brought on instead of being like N'Keal Harry was plugged in, not brought on. And it really hurt his career.
All right. So I'm going to do one more we didn't talk about, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. If you have if you need a wide receiver in Dynasty and you have your pick of the litter, who are you taking?
How was my team last year?
You're a contender. You're in the top four.
Can you give me a landing spot?
I'm not giving you anything.
Oh, nope. You're terrible. No.
Assume every one of them went to Kansas City.
Okay, I like that actually.
All right.
I'd probably say Garrett Wilson. Good. I'd actually definitely say Garrett Wilson because with London, I'm scared that the injury is going to hold him back the first half of his rookie season. I'm scared that Burks isn't going to acclimate soon enough for me to win a championship. With Wilson, I'm not scared of anything. I think he's going to ball out from day one and have 850 plus yards rookie year.
I think that's dead on. He's just the safest prospect. If he goes to, the Jets are the Jets. I'm scared. Cleveland's Cleveland. I'm scared. Even if they have Deshaun Watson. I talked to Cody about this in the last show with Cleveland. I don't all of a sudden see Cleveland turning around and throwing 60% of the time just because they got Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Look at their wide receivers. So that wide receiver, if a wide receiver goes to Cleveland in the first, well, not in the first round anymore, but whatever wide receiver goes to Cleveland, I have concerns about just because of the volume, et cetera. All right, now we're going to do some of your best fits for teams that have needs at wide receiver. We're just going to assume that – I don't want to say that everybody's available because we know that everybody's not going to be available here.
Okay.
So let's just kind of use our judgment. I can tell you who might be off the board if you would like to make the exercise a little bit easier. We're going to go with Atlanta. No wide receivers have been taken yet.
Drake London.
We're going to go to the Philly.
Jameson Williams.
All right, so is Garrett Wilson off the board in that circumstance?
Ooh, yes, I think he is. I think what's going to happen is Atlanta, if they stay in their draft positions, it's either going to be between receiver, it's either going to be London, or it is going to be Wilson. So you can flip-flop those two if you want to.
Yeah. Do you think the Jets go wide receiver in the first?
If they stay, yes, I think they do. I think they have to. I think it's – if you don't make a move in free agency, I think – you're kind of telling on yourself.
All right, Kansas City. What is your dream scenario for Kansas City? So Kansas City and Green Bay are interesting because I'm not going to take anybody off the board because if they want to trade up, they have two first-round picks.
Okay, Sky Moore. I think they go Sky Moore.
Sky Moore. I've seen a bunch of mocks there.
I think it just makes a lot of sense. I think he's the best blend of level three, level one target that's going to be available to them. And I think he's also a really high upside guy because of how little he's played the position.
All right, so here's another good one. Kansas City, they have back-to-back first-round picks, I believe, at 29-30. Treylon Burks and Sky Moore are on the board. Did they take them both?
Holy shit. If I'm Veach, yeah. Are you kidding?
That's a good
Patrick
one, right?
Patrick Mahomes will be blowing up my phone and take both those guys, in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, shit. If I want to win, you want to close that gap that you just left Tyreek Hill,
and you get you do that, you get two wide receivers on with 5 years of control.
Two wide receivers, years of control, and also think of it like this: Travis Kelce probably has 2 years left.
Yeah,
and that's it. If you get these two guys now, that Burks was being mocked as a top 12 pick through the whole offseason, and I think that's what his talent is. You might as well get him when he falls. And then Sky Moore, I think he's going to be a player we look back on and be like, holy shit, why was he not a top 15 pick?
All right, Green Bay, who's your perfect fit? At 22, who's your perfect fit?
At 22, that's a tough one because I think a couple things will happen with Green Bay is they're going to shoot themselves in the foot because they're going to have to take Chris Olave.
That's what they do.
I think they're
with wide receivers, that's what they do.
He's the most boring of this bunch, but the one that will make Rodgers probably the happiest for the next few years. He does have the ceiling, right?
The more that I think about it, Chris Olave with Green Bay is totally Aaron Packers guy. It's Aaron Rodgers guy. Mesh. Like that's
100%. 100%. I would bet if there's any receiver in this draft that they're going to draft, it's going to be Chris Olave because he's the most NFL ready guy. He's not going to. You know, Treylon Burks might have, Aaron Rodgers sending him clay toothpaste one play, and the next play, he's hating the guy, right?
All right, going to, 28? I think Christian Watson, if they would go wide receiver, would be a good fit there.
Oh, GB? Yeah, I think so. I think if they don't take one early on, yeah, I think it's going to be Watson. I think that's a solid pick for them, too.
All right, yeah. Let's go to. Yeah. We got two more teams left. If the Bills were to actually take a wide receiver, who's the dream scenario on who might be there?
Oof, I think the one that would probably be the best with Allen would probably be David Bell. I think you just lost to Cole Beasley, and you need to bring someone in that's reliable. But I think you go one or two ways. You try to go study Eddie. You get that 94 Civic, and you get David Bell, Or what you do, you get, you know, him or John Mechie. John Mechie can probably get a little bit later. Or you just try to spice things up and go Wandel Robinson. You could help your running game a little bit as well. But I think when we're talking about their running game, I think they go running back at 25.
You're plugging them as like Pittsburgh last year, where it just makes too much.
Too much. Josh Allen's not getting younger. You want more tread on his tires by giving him goal line touches? No, you don't want to do that. I think Breece Hall's going to go earlier than we think too.
Chargers.
I would say probably.
It's a sneaky need for them.
It is a sneaky need because, you know, Keenan Allen's not getting younger either. I think they go a couple ways. I think one way is Alec Pierce. I think that's one of the ones they could go with. Jahan Dotson as that level three guy makes sense, but ultimately I think they fall in love with a guy like George Pickens.
It's a good one. Round two.
I think in round two they fall in love with him. Round three, Justin Ross makes sense too.
Yeah, they tend to like the bigger receivers there.
Yeah, because they're going to want to push the ball down the field too. So it's like, you know, they're going to want to go after some of those guys. But I think I'd say Pierce, Pickens, Ross. Obviously, the one that we would love is Jameson Williams. I think that'd be – if they could trade up and get him, that'd be huge. But I don't see that happening. But
I think we chewed the wide receivers up pretty good here tonight. What do you think?
I agree, man. Thank you. No, it's a lot of fun, man. I'll come back anytime.
Be sure to check out Angelo's stuff. Go over to angeloanalysis.com. You can catch him on Twitter, Angelo_fantasy. I am the Dynasty Infidel. Hit the subscribe button. You know what to do. All that jazz. Yada, yada, yada. This is still better than Cody's outros. Love you all. Till next time. We're out. Friends, tea and rum. One day when the tonguing is done, we'll take our leave and go. Someday the weller man come to bring us friends, tea and rum. This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.